and welcome to episode 75.1, I guess, of Baseball Perspectives Podcast. Live from the Hilton Anatole in Dallas, Texas.
My home.
Jason's home. I'm Kevin Goldstein. This is Jason Parks. Jason, say hello to the internet.
Howdy.
We were going to have a special interview with the security guard, but she will not talk to us.
She wants to talk to us, but she has basically
declined our request for an interview. We want to talk to her about her experience as the security guard of the media room where she checks credentials and makes sure that we're all legit. And I understand why she turned it down, because, I mean, she's got some, believe me, she's got some stories.
She probably can't tell all the things that she really wants to tell. And we respect that.
And she says that's right.
And we respect that.
Now, you know, we have a good show for you. After we're done talking, you're going to have a couple of interviews. It's a great show.
It's not a good show.
It's a fantastic show.
It's not really.
We have a couple of interviews to play for you. One is Dylan Hernandez, former podcast guest.
That's definitely not a good show.
That's the best part.
No way.
Of the Los Angeles Times. And instead of interviewing him, because he cannot be here, our good friend Jorge wrote the five questions to ask Dylan Hernandez, and let me simply say, Jorge did not disappoint.
And then we'll talk
to Rob Nyer of Baseball Nation, and it's fascinating because obviously Rob's one of the more well-known people. Because see, right now, people with celebrities walk by. David Kuhl, the editor of all baseball stuff for ESPN, walks by. But Rob Nyer, of course, believe it or not, this is his first winter meetings, which I was just floored by.
Who, Nyer?
Yeah. Who knew?
I didn't. Well, I didn't.
Okay. So, anyway, nothing happened today, folks. This was a day where people just kind of walked around waiting for things to happen. Ron Santo got in the Hall of Fame, well-deserved, and a guy who deserved to be there solely as a player before he kind of became an icon in Chicago. No one else got in. And then everyone just sat around waiting for something else to happen, and it never happened, Jason.
That's right.
Jason just wants to drink more. Now,
no, it's not about drinking more.
It's okay, Jason.
What time is it? Okay, look, we've been here all day long. And I'm supposed to come up with something clever at 10:30 at night. I don't have anything left.
Okay. Well, that's like most days.
The second segment I do.
Yeah, the second segment's good. Today's mostly been a day about hanging out in the lobby and meeting people and saying, oh, hi, how are you? But when you ask people what's going on, they just kind of shake their heads and say nothing. And there's plenty of rumors about Pujols and Burley and Wilson and Fielder.
I have rumors.
And you have a breaking story, Jason.
I do.
Which is what?
I don't have anything.
That's what I thought.
We've all heard the same thing.
Exactly.
We heard that, Wilson's going to Florida. Then we heard that the six-year team, the team that's willing to offer him 6 years, is actually the Nationals. We heard that the Nationals are going hard on Burley. We heard the Rangers are going hard on Burley. We heard that there may be a trade in the works between the White Sox and with trading a guy like Danks, maybe to the Rangers. We hear rumors of this player going this play. Nobody knows anything. You know what? People are really enjoying cocktails at this hour, and it's hard to really tell what's going on. Today has been kind of slow, and so
kind of.
Today has been very slow. So by the end of the day, things are starting to get made up.
That's where we are. We're making things up now. But we did have a big event, especially, and this is in reaction to what happened last episode. When we talked about sexiness and sexy players, and in just one of the finest moments of everything right coming together, yet me can totally screwing up, I was walking from kind of the atrium set where the media is to the atrium set where the bars and the hangout area is, and walking right at me is Greg Golson.
Yeah. What's funny is that I was actually talking to Keith Law, and a friend of the podcast at the time, and we weren't talking about the situation with Golson, but we were talking about the podcast, which is what's really funny. Is when Greg Golson walks by, and I kind of stop and I go, hold on a second, because I go say hello to Greg, and it's like, wow, that's funny. And the friend of the podcast knew exactly what I was doing, and he was like, man, that was pretty sexy. And I didn't tell Greg, of course, what was up, because his smile was too electric.
And I totally screwed up, because Greg Golson, the subject of one of our, the greatest moments in podcast history last week, is walking at me, and I just kind of froze.
Because the smile is that legit.
Because I had the recorder in my hand right now, was in my hand. I could have just stopped Greg Golson, and we could have talked about what happened in episode 74.
And he would have been cool with it.
And he would have been totally cool with it. And instead, I allowed him to walk by, and I knew he was walking toward where Jason was standing, so I simply texted Jason, Greg Golson is coming.
And I took care of it from there. I didn't get him on tape, and I didn't talk to him about the event. I did say hello to him. I was talking to Keith Law at the time.
So what else is going on? Do you have anything else going on?
I have nothing going on other than the fact that, I started writing kind of a you know, a story about the winter meetings. It's going to be in, you know, the absurdity of the times type of thing. But other than that, it's, you know, hopefully something happens tomorrow. But to be honest, the next, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm just going to soak up the absurdity of the lobby so that I can put that down. Who's texting me? Hold on, let me see. It's nobody good. You know, and then go forward from there. Hopefully we have more people tomorrow. I mean, today was, believe it or not, I mean, and people are talking about this. People started talking about what time it's okay to drink today. Around 3 or 4, like, can we start drinking now? Because nothing happened today. Nothing happened. And here's what happened. People did start drinking that early. And, like, right now, there are a ton of baseball people who have had way too much to
drink. And again, it's only 10:30.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to... Here's the thing. When we're done recording, I'm going to splash this together with the interviews with Dylan and Nyer and put it up for everybody, and then I'm going to go back to the lobby. People are already in trouble there right now.
People are a little in trouble. There's some Guillens that have been around. There's been a Guillen spotted. Now people are having a good time. There's a lot of people who either got in late last night or got in today who haven't seen each other for a long time. You know, a lot of us consider ourselves a family. A baseball family. Some of the players, you know, and the more front office people, they have their own clique. The writers have their clique. And when you see people that you haven't seen in a year or, you know, maybe 2 years, you know, you want to have a drink with them and have a good time, and then it starts really getting going. And tonight it's going, and the fact that there's not a lot of news that are putting people into the media rooms.
Which is dead right now.
The media rooms are dead. So the fact that the media rooms are dead and the fact that the media members are not in the media rooms, that means that they're at the bar, which is what media members usually do. So the bars are packed. It's we have a really awesome security guard sitting over there. I see you.
And she still won't talk to
You're
us.
You're smiling.
She won't let us interview her.
Yeah, but she wants. She knows.
She would. You know what the thing is?
She wants to be, but she's not ready yet.
She's got stories.
She's got tons of stories. She's not coming, and I respect that. And I respect you for not coming on.
But you'd have good stories,
but
right?
You have great stories. No. All right. But anyway, so everybody's down at the bar, and so we're going to head back down there and just have a good time, and then call it a night and go home and go back to the hotel, which is very, very nice.
It's a nice hotel.
So we like the hotel, and get up and start early in the morning, and my morning will start about 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
So thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the interviews with Dylan Hernandez, the LA Times, Rob Nyer with Baseball Nation. Other people are waving at us, and I expect a longer show tomorrow if we actually have something to talk about.
I don't expect that.
No?
No, I don't. This is fine. This is what people want. People want quick.
Well, for now, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Okay, we're here with Rob Nyer on Monday night. Rob, I was absolutely shocked to learn that this is your first winter meetings. Is it everything you've expected and more?
It's funny because nobody, when I worked at ESPN.com, nobody ever asked me if I wanted to go to the winter meetings, but which I took as a sign. But I also never asked if I could go to the winter meetings,
right,
because
right.
was pretty sure that I really wouldn't want to be at the winter meetings. You know, I tend to sort of be antisocial by nature, although I've gotten better at resisting that impulse over the years, but. I just wasn't ever sure what I would do because it'd be so many other people trying to do exactly the same thing, and I wouldn't be doing it as well. So, anyway, here I am in that exact situation. When I was at ESPN, we always had four or five or six guys down here, and it just seemed sort of pointless. But now that I'm with Baseball Nation, I just thought it would be a good idea for us to have a presence down here, and so we'll see how it goes. I mean, I might not actually accomplish enough to justify coming back next year, but we'll see.
Now, today, as a Monday, it's been an incredibly boring day news-wise, and then before we started this, you admitted you were bored, as am I. How has this been different from what you anticipated or expected coming in?
Well, I think part of the thing is I've always anticipated a big room, a lobby, essentially, where everybody's milling around trying to get stories. And I think that's happening here, but I spent most of my time the first day in the media workroom writing, and you know, the room was full. So it isn't like I don't think I was missing big stories that everybody else was out getting somehow. It's just sort of an odd environment where, you know, most of 95% of what people were doing today work-wise, leaving aside the whole, you know, getting to hang out with your friends, you know, in the business. 95% of what I'm seeing anyway could be done in one's home, which is what seems so odd about us all being in that big room, sitting down by ourselves, basically.
And but that's what it's for. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I like 360 days out of the year, I'm texting and IMing and emailing these people, and now I get to see them face to face. That's kind of, it's important purpose for that. I mean, are you doing the same?
I am. I mean, I keep a running list of people that I've either met or people that I've known that I run into and are able to say hello and have and talk to you for a few minutes. And that part of it's fantastic. I just think that probably the perception among the public is that we all come down here and we're accomplishing these wonderful things, as opposed to basically, it's every industry basically has their annual, you know, whether it's a trade show a medical convention or whatever. Sure. It is, and yes, you're attending classes, but really what you're doing is seeing your friends that you haven't seen since. Well, in our case, a lot of people haven't seen them since the World Series or the All-Star Game or the last winter meetings, whatever it might be. So is there value in that? Absolutely. You get to meet people and build relationships and say hello and put a name to a face. And I think all that's worthwhile. It just isn't quite what I think most people envision when they think about the winter meetings.
Now, I mean, recently, obviously, it's not last week or anything, but you left ESPN and you went to Sports Blog Nation with Baseball Nation. I mean, you're here now representing them. I mean, what's kind of the future for what you're doing over there?
Well, I think it's in flux. I'm not arrogant enough to think that we are where we're going to, right now, where we're going to be in, say, a year or two, and I'm not smart enough to say where that's going to be. I just think that the website is going to look a lot different in a year, 2 years, than it does now. And my job this winter is to sort of at least get us headed in whatever the next direction is. But I think that. I sort of compare it to, a team goes to the World Series. They can't spend that winter sitting on their hands and just coming back with the same 25-man roster. That usually doesn't work. Well, SB Nation, baseball, we haven't gone to the World Series yet. We're still, down there just kicking away, trying to make some headway against the big boys at ESPN and Yahoo, etc. I think it's a work in progress. And one of the things I would love to hear from some people who use the site. And want to know what we could be doing better, because it's easy to lose your perspective when you're in the middle of it, and things are going well enough, and people find comfort zones in terms of the work product and the way things look. But on a fundamental level, I know that we can't just sit there and come back every season with the same thing. So I don't know what it's going to look like even 3 months from now. We may have a completely new design.
And the site does a great job. There's these team specific sites, and they do a fantastic job of creating community in a lot of senses. But with you here, I mean, is this a message that you're trying to set the thing up as being a little bit more, having more of a reporter sense of things?
Well, certainly that we are trying to hit the news harder than, say, we did a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we just hired Amy Nelson from ESPN.com, and she has great contacts and does a lot of reporting. So I think that's really hiring me. I've never done much reporting, and I love doing it. When I've done it, I've loved it, but I haven't done enough of it to be an expert or to have a reputation as a reporter. Amy does. She does have that reputation. So I think that that's a signal. When they brought me aboard, it was we're going to get serious about this, and we're going to hit all the news. And hit it pretty hard with analysis, and I think Amy is the next step. And today, Jerry Hairston signed with the Dodgers, and whereas we always would have had a story, a news item about that signing with a little analysis mixed in, now we have the news story and with the analysis and Jerry Hairston quotes mixed in, thanks to Amy. So I think that is the direction. We're just trying to fill things out a little bit more.
So what do you expect for your next 2 days or your final 2 days of your first winter meetings?
Well, I think I need to, it needs to be more dynamic. I need to spend more time not in the media work.
You got to lobby it.
I got to lobby it. I got to at least see what happens. I'm not expecting to break any stories. But I do think I need to experience the full range of winter meetings, the winter meetings experience, and I haven't done that yet.
It's really not over until you've seen a manager really drunk at 1 in the morning.
I've heard all those stories about what happens in the hotel bar. And
it's early still.
The problem is I don't really drink very much, so it's hard for me to fit in. And also, by 1 o'clock, I feel like I should be back in my room working or sleeping, because it all starts again the next morning at 8 o'clock. So I'm torn. I mean, I think this would be great if I didn't have to eat or sleep. That would be fantastic. But given those parameters, it's been tough for me to figure out where to apply myself.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. We're here with a former podcast guest, Dylan Hernandez, with the Los Angeles Times, the Dodgers beat writer. And, you know, I didn't want to come up with questions, and since Jorge is not here and he's the official asshole of the show, we've asked him to come up with five questions for our mutual friend, Dylan Hernandez. Our first question, again, this is not me, this is Jorge's question, Dylan.
That's a nice way to do it.
Our first question is, you were a high school athlete. Why have you allowed yourself to become a fat mess?
Well... Because it, like, really hurt to work out. You know, I started out playing soccer, and in the middle of it, I became a distance runner. I did okay early in high school with that, so I kind of, you know, committed to that over the second half of my, you know, high school life, and running, like, really hurts. So, and the only reason I did it, I didn't do it for, like, vanity or anything.
Right.
It was, or not, like, physical vanity. Yeah. I wanted to win. And once the competition aspect was out of it, I didn't want any part of it again. It was so awful, and I am glad that that's behind me, and I will gladly take on these extra 60, 70 pounds.
Okay.
If it means I don't have to run again.
Our next question, again, from Jorge. I hear that you have a good story that involves your father, animal testicles, and Mexicans. Can you recount it for us?
No.
This is the best podcast interview ever. Number three. Again, this question is from Jorge. You're a half-Latin, half-Asian guy from Pasadena. Why do you pretend to have expensive taste in alcohol and cigars?
Well, I do. I actually spent a lot of my disposable income on these things.
You're saying it's not fake?
No. Actually, I really do enjoy wine. You know, I lived in Northern California. Out of school, I got a job at the San Jose Mercury News, and wine's a big part of the culture.
Sure.
Up there. And, you know, I kind of figured it would be both a hobby and a good way to kind of relieve stress, you could say. So I got into the whole wine thing, and that kind of branched into other, you know, expenses.
Do you think Jorge will buy that answer?
Well, it's true. I don't you know. I mean, maybe not, because his whole life, I'm guessing, is BS.
His life is horrible.
Right. So yes. Yeah, I don't know that he can understand the way a normal life progresses.
Our fourth question from Jorge: why do you hate baseball?
I don't hate baseball.
This is Jorge's question. It's not my question.
I don't hate baseball.
Our fifth question, our final question from Jorge. What is the most disgusting thing you've ever eaten at 3 a.m. after a night of drinking?
Well, I'm guessing what he's referring to was, you know, in Philadelphia. It was last year, I guess, in the NLCS, after the bars had closed. We ended up at, like, some really rundown fried chicken place. And, yes, I did order some fried chicken. And I think he gets the impression that I do this regularly, which I really don't. You know, I have to be kind of pushed there. And obviously, Jorge being Jorge,
yes.
You know, you kind of naturally wind up, you know, in certain parts of town that you usually wouldn't end up in.
And what are your actual feelings about Jorge? I mean, Jorge listens to the show. Jorge's kind of obsessed with Jason and I. You know, I can show you my text messages, which is basically every 10 minutes or so, he simply texts me the word dick. And so, it's okay. You can say whatever you want to about Jorge. I need to know.
I'm going to pass on that. You know, we have certain standards at my paper. And if I go into certain types of vocabulary, it could lead to my dismissal.
Okay. Now, Dylan, you're here covering the Dodgers, and it's not the... Yeah, you know, they're not the busiest team in the world. What are you doing for the next 3 days?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that said, I didn't expect them to do anything today. And,
right, and they got rumored.
Yeah, and they got, you know, they got Hairston, and they got, you know, they're close to Harang, supposedly. So, yeah, but, you know, tomorrow, you kind of find ways to get by. You know, tomorrow I'll probably write about Don Mattingly. He's going to be around. So I'll talk to him, kind of get his thoughts on what the team looks like. And then the next 2 days I'll...
I don't know. We'll see.
And going into to 2012, do you just kind of see it as kind of a lost season? Well, it's like kind of like the end of this era, but it has to, you have to kind of get through this year to get through the future.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Bill Shaken is he just wrote a column that he just filed about how you know, it could be tough next year too, even with a new owner, just because they've given out a lot of these two-year deals that are backloaded, and you know, they needed guys who would sign very cheaply for the upcoming season. You know, the trade-off was that they would be compensated
right.
very well for the second season that the next guy's going to pay. And so the new owner already at this point is going to inherit $100 million
sure.
guaranteed for the next season, and that's without a first baseman, without a left or a right fielder, and without a catcher. So, you know, it might, the turnaround that people are expecting in L.A. might not come as quickly as they think.
Thanks for coming back on, Dylan, and thanks for dealing with Jorge's questions, even though he's not even here.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Matt.